Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. Our episode concludes this hour with a Q&A with playwright and performer Rohina Malik. We've been listening to her one-woman play, Unveiled, which she performed at Manchester University as part of their Values, Ideas, and the Arts series. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show.
Hi, thanks so much for coming. This is such a great audience for an afternoon show. I'm never usually this lucky. But I heard it's required in this school, so that's really great. Good for me. Thank you so much for coming. I wrote this play 10 years ago. And one of the biggest reasons I wrote it was because I was really disturbed by, even before 9/11, anytime I saw any kind of Muslim portrayal in television shows or movies, it would always be the stereotypical terrorist, villain, plotting. The women were either oppressed or they were plotting with the men. What I never or rarely saw was normal Muslim families, like the ones in my community, in my mosque, in my life, back in London, then in Chicago. People who are just striving for the American dream, regular, normal people. And when a community is never shown as normal, it's a form of dehumanization. It dehumanizes them. It takes away their humanity. When they're constantly seeing a community as terrorists and bad guys, you begin to think that's how it must be. And in reality, in the US, there are so many Muslim doctors that if tomorrow all the Muslim doctors decided not to go to work, we would have a crisis in this country. We'd have a crisis because that's how many Muslim doctors are in this country. I come from a community that cares about education. So it is highly frightening to me and offensive when I see the images that I often see on television, which is the bad guy. And I felt like as a writer, I had to do something. So I wrote Unveiled with the hope that I could bring an audience into the homes of these five diverse Muslim women. And I thought about the different countries and cultures I wanted to represent. Inez is African American. Why? That is the largest group of Muslims when it comes to the Muslim community in the United States. Black Americans are the largest community. A lot of people think it's Arab. It's not. It's African American. I wanted a Pakistani woman because that's my actual heritage. I wanted a British Londoner because that's where I was born and raised. I actually knew someone like the character Noor who became a lawyer after 9/11 when she saw people's civil rights were being infringed upon. A lot of that character came from this one woman. So I was thinking about different countries, and it was just really important to me to just have a chance to have a voice. And obviously, theater doesn't reach as many people as, say, Fox News does. But the play has reached so many people. It's recently gone to Switzerland. It's been to South Africa. It's been all over the United States. I've been to communities where there's very little diversity. And I've been to communities where people were nervous that I came. But I knew that those were the communities I had to bring the play to. And I had to perform it and have a chance for a conversation. Because we are living in a time where there's so much craziness, so much violence. And groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they are not the majority. They're frightening, even to Muslims. And what was really scary after 9/11 was, on one hand, we were being bunched together with this crazy extremist group. And on the other hand, we were learning about them the same way everyone was, by watching the news. And that was really scary for me, because I knew nothing about bin Laden. I knew nothing about Al-Qaeda. I was learning about it like with all of you, same way. But what was really creepy was that people, when I'd go out on the street, would look at me with hatred or suspicion and associate me with a group that has nothing to do with my faith. And one thing I want to share about ISIS, when ISIS emerged, it was like out of control and crazy. And we were like, what the hell is this? A group of Muslim scholars from all over the world, our Islamic scholars, came together and said, we need to do something. We need to respond. They did an open letter to ISIS saying that everything you stand for goes against Islam and is only going to lead you to hell. I was thrilled about the letter. and I thought, this is going to help. Do you know it got virtually no media attention, and most people have never even heard about it? But I encourage you to go home if you want and Google open letter to ISIS from Islamic Muslim scholars, and you will find it. Another thing that I think it's important for people to watch, because I thought it was really effective, I'm sure you, a lot of you have heard of TED Talks. There's a TED Talk that is so fantastic, and I'd love for you to Google it. It is a Jewish woman who decides to read the Quran. And what she says in those 12 minutes, it was so powerful to me. And one of the reasons I loved it was because she was not herself a Muslim. If she was Muslim, people might say that's biased. But because she was Jewish and she's an agnostic, she decided, I'm actually going to read the Quran. And she did. And what she has to say, I think, for those of you who are not familiar with what the book actually says, might find really wonderful and enlightening, because one of the things that that talk does is it dispels myths and stereotypes. So if you get a chance, please Google the TED Talk. You would just go on YouTube and type Jewish woman who reads the Quran and you'll find it. I think her name is Leslie. It's really powerful. But I want to give an opportunity for any of the students or faculty or community members, if anyone has a question about the show or about anything to do with myself or the show, now's your opportunity.
One of the first questions asked of Malik was what to do and how to respond when you encounter anti-Muslim bias or hate speech.
I think one thing that's always a good suggestion is that when you're in a classroom and that something like that happens, it happened to me when I was back in the day, to speak out and to not attack the person who said it, because a lot of people don't know, they're bombarded with this. I mean, this has been going on before 9/11. We were complaining about it before 9/11. After 9/11, it just skyrocketed even worse, but it was happening before 9/11 with the TV shows, with the media. And a lot of that hasn't improved. And I think the best thing to do is have a conversation. Even if you're in pain and even if you're hurting, it's okay for people to see that, because then they can see that words have an impact. And my suggestion would be to say, like, if somebody says Muslim terrorists, put up your hand and say, hold on a sec. We need to unpack that because I'm not okay with that. And have an opportunity to talk just the way you did right now about kindness and love and all the things that we are taught as Muslims. And I think people will listen to you. I really do. Speak out when you can, but don't attack people who say things like that, because I think that at the end of the day, a lot of times people say it without realizing that they're hurting anyone. And just create a safe place to have a conversation, because that's really how you're going to break down a lot of these stereotypes, is by just having a safe place to just say, hey, I'm not okay with that, and let me tell you why. All right, thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
This has been an episode of WBOI Presents. Special thanks to Matt Unger and his team at Manchester University for providing the audio for this program. Next week, we will bring you our 2018 News Roundup, taking a look back at some of the biggest stories from this past year. Our music is by Mark Waldick. Additional music is by Mark Waldick and Noah Campodonico. Folktales is next. Have a wonderful night.